Sessionable.
Welcome to Sessionable.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
We are recording at one of our favourite recording places, Wayward Brewing.
This is like two out of three for the last three podcasts.
Well, Wayward, it depends when the last one gets actually like,
just someone
posted.
Ever fucking releases it, yeah.
Adrian's not here, so it feels a bit mean to...
No, it's what we did the whole year you were away. Just paid the fuck out of you. That's what happens. You don't turn up, you get the shit paid out of you.
Fair enough.
I thought we were keeping this cozy, guys.
Nah.
Amicable. fuck that guy.
That voice you hear is one of our two awesome guests. It's Mikey from Wayward. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, how you doing?
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And our second guest is Jackson from Feral.
Hey, team.
just a heads up. I think other than Mikey, like, the rest of us are...
dusty as fuck.
Yeah, like, so it's going to be one of those episodes.
It's like
do I have to get into character? Do I have to drink all these beers and then come rolling drunk?
You can pretend to be hungover if you want.
Oh, God, I'm so hungover.
Right, so we've got these two. These two guys are two of the sickest beer reps in Sydney.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's all right. And we thought we'd talk a bit about that side of the industry because we've talked to a lot of brewers... talked to a few publicans, but we haven't really like touched on this side of the industry, the kind of the middlemen,
the shit between the sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, anyone that works in the industry, be it from like a bottle shop or a pub, like the beer rep is like our point of contact to the breweries. And so I think it's a very often overlooked but a very vital piece of the thing. I guess from a consumer, it's probably, besides like beer festivals, you wouldn't
know them that well, but it is a huge part of the industry that I think Liam and I both, as people who, you know, work in the hospo side of the industry, we probably deal with beer reps a lot, and have over the years, and it's some of the best mates of beer reps. Alrighty, so we've got a beer in front of us. And it's one of the beers that you brought to Gabs, right? Not your festival beer, but...
Not a festival beer. So we did like a split down the middle stand. For those who were there, it's probably repeating info. But one half is all of our regularly scheduled sort of products. And then the other half was six Belgian golden ales, five of which were barrel aged for 3 months in different types of oak. So the one you've got in front of you is the Jack Daniel's, Mr. Jack Daniel's.
What the feedback did you get with the barrel project?
Feedback was good. I think it really depended on what stage of your day you came and tried them.
Isn't that Gabs, though?
Yeah, pretty much. I think the thing about it was it's uniform 3 months. So we did virgin French oak, which was quite punchy because it's just, new oak. So it's very resiny and really powerful flavors. We did a lark barrel, Tasmanian whiskey one, which was obviously quite powerful because of the liquor aspect. Same thing with the whiskey. But we also did Adelaide Hills Chardonnay and Coonawarra Cabernet, and they were a hell of a lot more subtle. So you needed a pretty clean palate to
do all of them.
And most people did do the paddle, which was really exciting to see.
Most people did. I saw a lot of people did it at the start of the day. Like, that was straight up.
Because again, like, there's a lot of subtlety in them. I mean, the bourbon's definitely the more muscular of the
I think I had a few at Gabs, but I don't remember, so...
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That's totally fine.
I'm pretty sure. I remember coming to your stand at some point.
Yep.
I know that happened.
I really like it because the Jack Daniel's one actually has that sort of soapiness.
And it is woody. It is fucking
woody. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's got all of the things I love about Jack Daniel's. Yeah. Like the vanilla and the banana and the cloviness.
Really it's not just bourbon. It is Jack Daniel's.
You can really tell
that it's Jack Daniel's. Yeah.
Which is, nice. But again, like I think, like I said, like if we had our druthers again, it'd be interesting to see if we tried to balance it by doing maybe 6 months on the Adelaide Hills Chardonnay and 6 months on the Coonawarra, because that is quite big and obvious.
Yeah.
And the others weren't, just because like the liquor aspect. And it really soaks into the wood. But yeah, I love this beer. Makes me very happy.
Do you know if you guys will be doing it again next year or something on the same lines? Or?
Don't know at this stage. I mean, the barrel project is definitely like we've sort of announced the fact that we're definitely interested in doing a lot more with our barrel project stuff, fermenting in, aging in, that sort of thing. But at the moment, typical form, it's a council issue. Apparently, the picturesque nature of the Swan Valley, apparently that doesn't suit a... full, proper barrel shed, you know, sort of climate controlled sort of barrel shed, which is, if you've been out to like the Hunter and seen some of the wineries out there, they're big. They are big. And there's no way to make them pretty. So at the moment, we're kind of thinking about, we need to be able to store them properly. And if we can't do that, it's a bit difficult.
Don't you do it like they do it, like, you know, like historic buildings in the city, like where they do a town hall and they have a picture of town hall
on the outside?
Have it, what the view would have been if there wasn't a giant
green screen.
There,
just run up, get a generator and do a green screen. I don't know where we're at with that yet. I think it's just like finding a way to house them first and foremost. And then, yeah, going to do a hell of a lot more stuff with our barrel beers.
Yeah. Awesome.
Which is exciting.
Yeah. Farrell's been doing cool stuff in barrels for a long time.
Yeah,
BFH,
Barrique.
Yeah, Barrique.
There's a few.
Warhead. There's one.
Warhead. Yeah. And we're kind of, it's great because we're kind of surrounded by a lot of great wineries.
Yeah.
In the Swan, and can manage to get our hands on some stuff from Margaret River, and now some South Australian stuff and Tasmanian stuff as well. So it's getting exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah. Sweet.
Cool. So what about what's your origin story? How did you become
this is right being asked
this
by
is Liam fishing real deep.
So Liam's responsible for two out of the four people here.
Once upon a time, a wide-eyed myself used to live behind the Campdown Cellars on Kingston Road, and my brother, for my responsibly enough 17th birthday, bought me like the 1001 book on beer. And I ended up tucking that under my arm, pen behind my ear, and walking down to Kingston Road and just ticking things off through the book. And I think Liam was running the shop at the time and cracked the shits eventually and just said, this book is like published in 2000 and whatever the fuck, irrelevant year now, because the beer scene's changing so rapidly. Ditch it, try these. And then started drinking a lot of beers.
I think there wasn't a 3-month adjustment period for you to actually put that book.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, absolutely.
I think it was like the fourth time in a row you came in asking for 90-minute IPA. I was like, fuck that book off right now.
Yeah.
Try this.
Do you have this one?
It's like, fucking told you, no.
Like, yeah. No, and then I started, I was at Music University, which was a fantastic life choice. Started being a bar journalist, like doing restaurant and bar reviews and stuff, and then realized I didn't want to be a musician, and started working at Camperdown Cellars on Parramatta Road, which me and Liam ran together for two and a half years.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, and then I got I interviewed for the Feral job and scored that, and here we are.
Boom.
So this is your first rep job.
First rep job. Yep.
And how long have you been at Feral for now?
Like 18 months, give or take. Yeah.
Do we have a drinking game to play tonight? Like, do we have anything, like, if anytime Jackson says something nostalgic or romantic about his previous life, or Liam laughs, do we get a drinking game?
Oh, no, you can't.
I'm sure the listeners have one, but
if
when Liam
laughs.
Yep, Liam
when
laughs,
I say
we'll
awesome.
All drink, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we still have that bottle of Jack? Or?
Yeah.
It won't take me long to get it. I see the fear in your eyes.
Yeah. There's fear in one eye and twinkle in the other. I've got the devil and the angel on the shoulders.
And what about you, Mikey? What's your kind of like origin? You've been with Wayward for ages, right?
Yeah,
like,
since the beginning. Wow. First,
before there was a brewery.
Yeah. Before there was a brewery, when we were originally, we were the brand was licensed in Lilyfield. I remember, I can't remember the name, the fellow that came in, but he was asking at a bar that I was working at. He's like, "Oh, have you heard about this new brewery that's opening up in Lilyfield?" And I was a bit green, and I was like, "Oh, I don't know any." And then it clicked about a week later when I realized that we'd activated the brand at the boss's actual home address, because that's where he was brewing out of.
Yeah.
Brewing in his wife's kitchen. And the story with that is that, well, she kicked him out of the kitchen and made him open a brewery because she was sick of all the mess.
Yeah, fair enough. Right.
Origin story. Bartender for a long time, 10 years. Before that, I was breaking horses, so kind of always had that cowboy thing going through, and that's kind of where it launched me, because I had this moniker as a Barley Cowboy, this beer-loving fiend.
You stopped wearing the cowboy hat as much?
Just today, mate, just today.
Yeah,
I wore it all weekend.
Okay,
you know?
That's good.
Yeah.
I've really taken that
one
to the shops.
There were a good couple of years where I only ever saw you wearing that hat.
Absolutely. Yeah. So origin, started with Wayward, 3 years ago, got, I think Pete, the owner of Wayward, might've been a bit drunk, and he was happily talking to a friend of mine at his restaurant that he was working, and and managing, and he must have blurted out that he was looking for someone, and my mate talked me up well enough that he promised to call me the next day in his couple of lagers in, and he actually did, and we spoke. We met the first time I met Pete. He was dressed as a mammal, which is a middle-aged man wearing in lycra. I'll never forget the image. Is this going to be my future boss wearing bike shorts?
That confused me really, because you know, with his their penchant for like having dress-up parties, like it wouldn't be out of character actually. Pete dress up as a mammal. So
I've seen Pete in a number of different garbs. Absolutely, he has an ever changing wardrobe of outfits. And basically, we hit it off pretty all right. My first official day was the Australian Beer Festival as part of Sydney Craft Beer Week in 2014. I guess that would be 2014. Yeah. That was my first.
That's
official
a
day.
Way to break into the.
Oh yes,
that's a real single swim. Yeah. Like
chuck me in. There you go, mate. What's going on? Yeah. It was pretty easy. He was pouring beers. You know, I was very hungover that day, so I was pretty much in my element.
Yeah.
Hungover pouring beers, like that's,
absolutely.
Yeah, just topping
absolutely.
Up. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Topping up. Yeah. Talking to everyone about this beer that I'd literally only tried, you know, a week or two before, and
yeah,
it was fine. And then fast forward 3 years, and here we go.
Yeah. And you got a bit of a team with you as well now.
Yeah, like 9 people now. We've really jumped up in 9 months, 10 months.
Yeah,
9 months. That's like one employee every month.
And how do you guys both? Like, I guess we'll go probably Jackson then Mike as well. How are you finding being a beer rep? Like, what's your day to day, and what do you love about, and what do you kind of maybe not?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do I have?
What do you do?
Wake up around midday.
Wake up
for a beer.
No,
chicken even.
No, you're not wrong there, bro.
Burger at the Royal Albert.
That's what's like. I think some people's perception of a beer rep. Like, I think beer rep's one of those jobs that people think, like, man, I'm going to be a beer rep. It's going to be the best time ever. I'm going to work a beer festival every week.
Yeah. Just drink a lot of beer. Yeah. Get free beer for me and my mates.
Yeah. Like, do you remember that meme that
give
went around?
Beer merch to my mates.
It was like 6 pitches, and it was like what my friends think I do, what my mum thinks I do, what I really do. Yeah, it's all just drinking.
It's all the same picture.
I think it's a lot more time spent in a car than people kind of expect. I mean, I suppose I think me and Mikey's experience would be vastly different purely because you know, Mikey works for a brewery that's local. You have access to the beer directly and the brewery directly, and there's a bar here. Whereas doing an interstate thing, I do spend like a lot of time sending and receiving emails, phone calls, in the car, traveling around. Through the week, it's basically just picking like a part of town. You kind of, my territory's recently changed. I used to look after everything north of the bridge, and now I'm just inner west CBD and inner east. So I kind of divide that up into sort of quadrants and then tackle each section per day. But of course, it's never that neat and clean. Occasionally people go, holy shit, I ran out of beer like an hour ago. Emergency keg delivery. At which point, you know, your entire day's plan's kind of fucked. So, but yeah, you have to kind of be flexible, but organized. It's an interesting balance.
I guess mine's a bit more regimented in my schedule. 6 a.m., wake up, look at the alarm clock. Turn it off.
Go to bed.
No.
Oh,
I am up at 6 a.m. most mornings. So, you know, a lot of my day is, it's 24/7 because, you know, you've got your customers who have your number, and they do. They will call you out for a favor, and you feel obliged. You know, everyone, you know, there's the golden rule, and it never really gets enacted, but everyone gets one. You know, that means one favor. Otherwise,
it's Sunday.
Yeah,
it's Sunday. It's raining.
It's Sunday. Do you want to come in and do a podcast on your one day off from the brewery? I'm like,
you're on a date. That's you're kind of drunk.
Yeah, but the minute I said Jackson was coming as well, you're like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, Mikey, if you don't want to do this, fine. It was going to be you and Jackson.
Don't paint the picture like I didn't want to come. Just
no. I actually felt really bad when you said it was like your one day off.
This month.
It's my one day off this week as well, but that's I would right. probably be here drinking.
We do it for the beer. Jackson, we do it for the beer.
It's all in the name of beer.
It's for the beer.
I don't think sleeping until noon would be an option any day of the week. Not even on weekends. You need to kind of be alive enough to go, okay, have I forgotten anything? Did anybody not get their beer this week? Saturday mornings can be actually a bit of a clusterfuck of panic if you really didn't get your shit together.
Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and be like,
oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, like, absolutely. Is that like
the beer rep's equivalent of waking up and not and being at school with no pants on or something like
that. Totally. Absolutely. But it's also great. I mean, again, like it's different for me because Perth's 2 hours behind. So I get this wonderful sort of, you know, I think in TV they call it as live, as in they're like they have like a 15-second buffer or a 30-second buffer where they can kind of clean up their mistakes, which is, yeah, great. It's fantastic.
Clearing up mistakes. I'll tell you what, there's one thing I definitely learned. Not the hard way, luckily, because I managed to remember in time, but I learned very quickly, do not look at your phone, do not answer your phone calls when you're out drinking. Because, as I said, you will get bartenders asking for a favor at whatever time, even if it's just for the next day, which is probably fine and possible, but you don't want to be, you know,
dealing out.
You know, no worries, mate.
Yeah, you definitely
have 10 pints, forget, next day. You're like, there was something I was meant to do. Why is a string around my finger? Yeah. Something I was meant to do today.
Yeah.
It's not that important.
Yeah.
It's much easier to remember to act on a voicemail than in the morning from a phone call like last night. Yeah.
I just said totes, but yes.
Totes for goats. I think the experience is basically like, you know, just within the CBD, there's something like 180 something licensed venues. So, in a perfect world, you get around to every single last one of them and just see what's going on, see if, you know, any of your products suit their venue or suit what they're going for. And the same is true again for just like the suburb of Surrey Hills. It's insanely dense. So, like one day of my week, pretty much every week is Surrey Hills. And it's just that dense. You kind of just have to treat it that way. But yeah,
I guess it does seem sort of a lot of fun. There is sort of like a very much a hard time management lesson there that you do pick up very quickly. Like I like to use the whole model. Like if you considered that from the phone call to action the sale to all the back of house stuff to the delivery of the keg. If you had 80 customers, right, and no rep has only 80 customers, that's a very low number. Yeah. You'd only have half an hour per person per week in a real world. So time management comes of the essence. Mm. When you're going to a venue with a keg, you're also thinking about other venues. You're thinking about all your customers at any one time, what stock's in, what stock's going out soon, and all of that.
And how efficiently you can use your time. Mm. And how hard actually it's probably counterintuitive, but it's actually quite hard to have your brain functioning at the kind of pace and efficiency you need it to doing beer repping hungover
lists. So many lists.
Yeah, just writing the number of notes. Events. You're kind of like, you can't wake up at noon feeling dusty because you've lost half your day.
But we do somehow. We still do it. Events always, you know, turn us into maniacal beasts, and we love it. That's the fun side that everyone sees us doing. It's the people to people
stuff like gabs and
syndicate takeovers, takeovers. You know, and you know, you spend a lot of time.
You two have got your shirt off and fucking on the bar.
Is that witchcraft?
There are
photos.
Witchcraft beer event was that again? Every craft beer event, I feel it was.
I've definitely been shirtless more than once, against probably a lot of people's wishes.
I do feel like there are certain beer events which are shirts optional. Like,
fuck yeah. Especially if you're ever doing anything with the Young Henry's blokes.
They have a
sip of mid-strength that's just they're off. Off. Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're going to do some Cooper Ultra Light.
I think that like repping for me, like one of my favorite things is the camaraderie amongst reps, and it's there's so few personalities that are like hyper competitive and unwilling to collaborate. And
I don't think that works in craft beer so much.
The whole industry is like that. Like if you're a dick, you're just going to get weeded out of the industry.
Really true.
Yeah,
and because at the end of the day, like I think the more important fight is not craft brewery versus craft brewery. The more important fight is like the craft segment versus like, you know, the big boys.
Mm.
That's what we should be like putting more of our energy
when Jackson's like, hey, I just found this new venue, Mikey, fucking I got a beer, and they jump in the
Piss,
or it wasn't the right fit for Feral, but maybe Way would be really good for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done that before based on like you get to know everyone else's pricing, everyone else's range, what they can offer insofar as like discounts or permanency or do they buy taps, that sort of thing. And if your brand just doesn't suit or fit and something comes to mind, you're not going to
recommend.
You're not going to basically get the guy to run around town and find it by accident 6 months down the track, yeah, yeah, you're going to give them a call and help them out.
Maybe I'm shooting myself in my own foot here, but I've sold other people's kegs for them. In the sense that, I've got a customer screaming down my neck. They need this. I don't have it. I don't know, where do they think that I was going to be able to pull that rabbit out of my hat?
Hop Hog. Can you, make Hop Hog? Yeah. Is it that type of thing?
Sure. But
not Hop Hog.
Just way would do.
Keep the customer, happy to keep the rapport and our bond, strong. I'll go, listen, these guys have a great one. Why don't I call them up? I'll see if they've got one for you. I'll do it as a favour, sweet. No worries. For the higher motive of keeping them happy.
Happy,
next time they'll order from us again, for sure.
Hey, Mikey, what else can you get for us?
This is an arc. We're not back there again.
What do you reckon is one of the worst parts of being a sales rep? What's the one of the bane of your existences? Plus one deals or...
Bane, Jesus.
Plus one deals are interesting because, look, the buyer-seller dynamic. We're trying to sell to get the highest price so we make money for our business. They're trying to get it bought. They buy the product for a so low a price that it works for their business. However, it doesn't really help anyone. It just it kind of cheapens the product. I get why they're doing it, but there's so many other ways that you can use, dropping prices, put that into a promotional fund, do something else with it.
Yeah.
Find other ways that can help the experience because, what I've realized a long time ago was that it wasn't about me selling to the manager of the bar. It was about me selling to the patron and of their bar through the manager. And the best way to do that is to set up a relationship and say this, sell the product to those people. How's it going to sell? How's it going to turn over quickly so you make money? And that's how our relationship is going to do really well.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
It's the mutually beneficial thing. It has to be mutually beneficial in that way.
Yeah, definitely. We've got our second beer in front of us. It's the Mornington Dog's Bollocks, I think.
Yeah, that went down really quick. I don't have any.
Yeah, I noticed that. We should probably talk about it before
Is this the Nitro?
This is the Nitro one.
Yeah, so I picked this up just because as far as I'm aware, the first Nitro-charged
Aussie beer.
And so it doesn't use a widget like Guinness. It's
the beer. The can is actually just charged with nitro, right?
I believe so. My understanding is that they contacted a brewery in the States that does this and got some advice and sort of partnered up with them. Not a collab beer, but just on how they do that technique. So I thought it's pretty cool beer, and I think it's something we're going to see a shitload more of coming out.
Yeah,
fairly soon.
For sure.
So.
I can
certain styles suit it so well.
We did. We didn't do the proper pour because we did. It was more of it because we had to share it around. Mm. But I do love. It's got a little diagram on the can where it literally says, "Open it up, put it upside down on top of a glass,
preferably in a glass." Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just to do that. Like
for the listeners at home, that's
the violent
Tom
pour.
The violent pour. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
I like it.
Yeah, I really.
That's
I
a
really
good ESB.
It.
That is a good. Like,
yep.
It's a lot.
It's a really
on.
Good recovery beer. And I think it's
it's smooth and malty.
It's a really good breakfast beer for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Breakfast think, beer at 10 to 9 p.m.
I think Jackson,
come on, guys, I'm a beer rep. I get up at 12 a.m.
I kind of needed that, I think, a little bit. Yeah.
And because of the nitro as well, it's just like
smooth. It's really smooth.
I don't know why I thought this was a nitro stout. I really thought I saw something about this on as a nitro stout. I like our Otis. I remember someone's comment on Untappd. it's an oatmeal IPA, and the comment was, "This is not a stout, one star."
It's like, where did it say it was a stout?
Like, oatmeal isn't just for stouts.
Fucking read, dude. Like, come on.
We took it to heart and we realized, okay, next time I'm going to have to make an oatmeal IPA that's actually a stout.
Mm.
Yeah, thanks. No, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty good thing to touch on. I think Thomas probably got the same thing. Do you guys, read Untappd reviews for your beers? Is that
a... Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, look,
for a bit of entertainment
critical
every now
feedback.
And again.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sometimes there is a great review that just has to be shared. Either there's they're so off track on what they were tasting in the beer, or it sometimes is laughable, but for the most part I think it's a great way to get straight to your face. Critical feedback from the people that are drinking your product.
That's what you were saying before, right? Like, you're selling beer to the patron.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one way to get feedback straight back from the patron, not just asking the pub owner, "Oh, how's it going?"
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, Yeah, blew a keg over, you know, over the weekend.
Yeah.
That's great. What does that mean? You know, were the rest of the beers evenly, fairly priced?
Yeah, was that just one dude who was really thirsty?
Yeah, one party that was just drinking wayward? Yeah. I don't know. It's also very interesting because, you know, beer terminology, when you're categorizing all the beers, you know, it's sort of more of a language you use to get to communicate what you've tried to do to the beer and what the customer should be drinking, so they know what they're buying, what they're drinking, what they're buying, and it's really interesting to see, have you managed to give them a very clear communication there?
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it's just about meeting expectations.
And it's kind of like, well, what? How do I feel about that? Like, I'm usually that's fine. If it's a super tasty beer, but it's not a IPA, it's actually more of a...
Yeah, but who's telling you? Is it like what the bartender told you it is? And
what's on the deckle? That kind of thing. But like, if it's a good beer, it's a good beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of people still get hung up on, oh, but it wasn't really a Saison, it was more of a farmhouse ale.
I'd love to see clean skin labeling where it just has, in big bold writing on the front, just the percentage of alcohol and literally nothing else.
maybe colour as well.
Yeah, Garage Project Garage Project did one that just said beer, and it was a really clean beer. There's also... Like, you could get from Woolworths, like, a clean Korean clean skin beer, which is basically...
With the happy face on it from Korea.
Yeah, nice.
I think we had some drinking
with Davies. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back.
Cool.
With
a beer that's very close to Mikey's heart, I believe.
Yeah. Well, we're just doing a nitro beer. This is another nitro beer coming up.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And, yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
We'll take a quick break. Sweet.
Sessionable.
Alrighty. I think, Mikey, you should probably tell us what we're drinking.
All right. This is the Midnight Barley Cowboy. It was produced originally when they asked me sort of what sort of a style beer we should, you know, would I like to throw an idea in the hand? I said, oh, let's do like a big American style porter. I want a barrel agent and Jack Daniels barrels, and I want to throw some tonka beans at it. Well, not... We weren't going to get all those things put together, but Sean made a cracking recipe, and they asked for a name, and I said, oh, I want to call it the Midnight Cowboy. I believe Holgate had that name already, so my moniker being the Barley Cowboy, they just threw a barley in there, and Midnight Barley Cowboy came out. And then they asked me for some ideas for the decal, and I just happened to glance into my arm where I'd recently gotten a tattoo of a barley chewing skeleton cowboy. I'm like, that's pretty cool. Let's do that. So not every day you get to be immortalized in a beer.
Yeah,
which
you
is
got
sweet.
Your beer name. That's very cool. Mate, how good is that?
How many people thought that you got the tattoo after the decal was
Everyone thinks. That's pretty hardcore, man. I'm like, but I came first.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the chicken, not the egg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, this style, we were talking before about, you know, styles communicating what's in the beer. This would be a dry Irish stout / IBA / English porter / nitro / and forever on. It'd be the slasher awards.
Yeah.
actor and / model.
Yeah.
This beer is only recently we've done it on nitro, the full batch this time.
Nice.
We think it brings out the nuances of the malt and
it's tasting
subdues
amazing.
Some of the hop a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which is great for winter drinking.
Mm.
People getting behind.
No, I do. I've had a lot of this beer in the past. It's been on at the Albert, and I love it. Mm, I do.
Yeah.
There's usually a growler in my fridge.
Yeah. You got a growler.
You'd have to hope so. They kind of owe you.
Yeah, that's Hannibal Lecter-esque.
Just not feeling myself today.
There it is.
Yeah, that's after the fourth time the alarm's gone off.
Yeah. I guess
this would be a good breakfast beer, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Kind of ties into the next thing I was going to ask is like, how much do you become like the character of, I guess, character's not the right word, the embodiment of what you are on the road represent the brewery as well? Like, I think. Mikey, you've sort of developed...
I think Mikey's a character. Like, you are the Barley Cowboy. That seems like a bit of a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, have you... I think you've sort of changed the style of Wayward more than you becoming something that is way... to fit in with Wayward, right?
Well, thank you. Gracious. I mean, you know, I'll always have I'll always be the Barley Cowboy,
yeah.
Known to people. And I'm Wayward's Barley Cowboy. And I think in some sense it does help as a representative and an ambassador of the brand to market yourself. I know that Jordan McDonald goes under the moniker of the Beer Monster.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, there's a number of different...
Jackson goes under that wanker.
yeah, that wanker
almost
from Peril.
Almost exclusively. Yeah.
Nice guy, Dud Root.
Yeah, you wrote me in after you.
Yeah, that was Josh from Victorian Rep.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, Dud Root.
He's on the deckle. Yeah. He's definitely on the deckle.
Yeah. You don't have a beer at Feral named after you yet, do you?
No, not at all.
So, kind of from that, like as reps, how much impact do you guys have on the actual product? Do you get much say in, like, are you asked, you know, what beer should be brewed, what people want? Like, do you have any say, any impact? I know, Mikey, you probably have quite a bit here, maybe. I don't know. But I think it sort of goes back to
what Jackson was saying before about, you know, having a brewery that's in your city.
Yeah, exactly. It makes a massive difference, well, I think, for sure.
But I'm sure you're giving feedback.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've announced that we're going to be canning.
When are the Watermelon Warhead cans coming? So
I fucking hate that question.
I know you do. I've asked that. I think I've asked that three times.
Do you know what? I've been in.
You don't have to answer it. You
no, no. Sometime next year, which has pretty much been the answer for several years now. Yeah. But no, I think the. What were we saying?
We're just talking about what impact you have.
On.
Oh, right. Yeah. My bad. So the lead up to the canning. That was a long conversation. That was about a year long conversation mm-hmm. before announcement.
Yeah.
Talking about sizing, talking about every aspect.
We're talking about your cans,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
but cans, yeah. That was a long.
I threw you off, mate.
I love you.
No worries, man. It's no worries. It's all positive here, man.
Indeed.
We have a fairly immersive culture within our brand. We have a rolling commentary about the names of the beers. Everyone gets an input. All of our staff here. What comes next? We like to throw out ideas, see if anyone's got a weird flavor combination they want to try or a style that they would think would work. It usually comes down to Pete. Actually, it always comes down to Pete and Sean making that decision. Because it's their brand. You know, not just for a brand forward direction, but you know they're the ones the most knowledgeable to know what's actually going to work, and you've got to
and costing it out.
Of course, that's why we can't use Jack Daniel's barrels for our beers with tonka beans in it. But apparently, Feral can.
I don't know anything about tonka beans.
No. from the rep side, Johnny and I do. We do take a lot of interest in what our customers are seeking, trends that are coming through. it's never really easy to pick a trend off the mark.
It's easy
to see one as it's already happening,
you join the party too late.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, unless you're the vanguard, well, that's already known, then you're sweet, you know. Mm. Vice, Watermelon Warhead, you're doing great. But we do give feedback to our brewer and our owners and such, and give them, we've done this Black Pearl Imperial Oyster Stout. It's in test batch size, so that's maybe 3.5 kegs. If we can get pre-orders of that, we will do enough pre-orders of that, we will do a full batch of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big beer. It's a unique beer, being the Oyster Stout. Not many people customers are aware of what that means. Will it sell? Will it translate?
Yeah.
That's a whole different story. So if we can get enough pre-sales, then we'll take the risk and brew it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being out in the trades and stuff like that and having those big nights and then having to back it up the next day, does it get hard? Does it...
You know, I've actually become very good at self-regulating, just water all the time.
Hmm.
Like, if I know I'm out sort of partially, or at least either completely or partially in a work sense, if I'm out and about, I'll be doing two waters to every drink, pretty much. Because, it is really hard to get up dusty and have and sort of, because you rely on your brain not to forget things, because you, you know, you're on the phone, and when you hang up, you've got two voicemails that came through while you were on that call, and you've got to listen to those, and then send emails based on what happened on those phone calls and voicemails. So yeah, if your brain's just not up to it, it can be pretty frazzling.
I think I'm the opposite. I think I'm just so used to being in a constant state of neural dehydration.
It's like you don't know how to function unless you're hungover.
Fair. Yeah, that's obviously a troubling sign for me, isn't it, guys? You're all aware. I need to stop drinking.
That will do.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, but that's like people who say, like, I learned how to drive drunk. I should be allowed to drive drunk all the time. No.
Yeah. No, do not operate heavy machinery or your life whilst drunk.
I actually grew up with a guy who, like, did that. Like, he was massive, like, stoners. He was like, well, I figured if I learn how to drive stoned, I can just, like, drive stoned all the time. Like, it's that exact same conversation.
Yep. Doing 15 in a 60 zone.
How you validate your own argument to yourself.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work. I have been bartending for a long time, and there was always that consistent party.
Yeah.
Went through that phase of a young bartender where we were just partying every night.
Yeah.
My mother hated it. If she's listening,
Tom's out there.
Liam
right.
just looked at me.
Come on, guys, we've all been there. We know.
This week's been rough.
You just kind of get up and go.
Tom's like right at that point right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you just get up and go. There are weeks in the year, festival times, Melbourne, Sydney, where you just run.
In May.
But you're running between events constantly, barely sleeping, eating all the wrong foods, no kale in sight.
Yeah. Wouldn't even be able to draw a kale after that.
I don't even think I could right now. A long orange kind of shaped vegetable, right?
Yeah, cool.
You end up having the watermelon warhead and being like, that's one of my five a day, right?
This is juice, right?
Yeah, he does juice in this, right?
I do remember Sydney Gabs last year. I had been out the night before. I'd been at my friend's, my flatmate's, they were in a band EP launch, and somehow I turned the phrase of I'm going home, I've got a big event tomorrow, to what they heard as seemingly being, hey guys, why don't we take the party back to our house and kick on? So I didn't sleep because they were all in the next room, so I ended up joining them for a few drinks in the morning, had about literally half an hour's sleep, went to Gabs. You can see in the photos I do look a bit like ill-rested. But I remember I was drinking through the beers of the day, couldn't find a water station. That wasn't a fault of the Gabs festival. It was just that I just couldn't.
Your brain
sucked. I was
drinking Keller Instinct as water because it was our lowest ABV
beer. That's a light beer, right?
It was our lowest ABV beer and the least offensive, like in terms of hops and malt and everything going on. It was the easiest drinking beer. I was drinking that like water. That was
You just fill up a water bottle and you're just like,
I've got no problem. Like, you know, I don't fall for telling people what they have to drink or dictating what they should drink.
No.
I am all for drinking PBR, Lone Stars, and Budweiser. Actually, Miller, not Miller Genuine Drop, but Miller High Life. I'm a big fan of that. All that corn. But look,
can't say I agree.
Tastes like America.
I'm white trash and I'm in trouble.
Why am I something white trash?
Mikey, come on. Yeah.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah. My mother's my sister. I know. I get it, guys. Thanks.
Do you have a guilty pleasure beer?
Oh, totally. Tui's old.
Yeah.
No shame.
I think that was the number, because we did one of our first episodes, like very early on, I think, was a episode where we talked about guilty pleasures.
I remember a little while ago, back when I was working at Camper Down Cellars, and being a journo, I think it was Beer and Brewer magazine, it could have been, did a blind tasting at the Union, and they had a whole mess of beers, and we were there to rate it based on craftiness, not on how much we liked it, but perceived craftiness based on flavor, which I thought was an interesting concept.
That's an interesting concept.
Really interesting concept. Eventually, I definitely was thinking about, do I enjoy this beer? I ended up rating Tui's Old a lot higher than anything else that was there. And felt, I felt a little bit embarrassed for some reason or another. And I bumped into Doc from Doctor's Orders, and I told him that story, and he said, why are you embarrassed, man? Tui's Old's a fucking great beer.
Yeah.
And he said, if you ever get taken to someone's birthday at a relatively ordinary pub, do the Tui's now. So half new and half old. The postmodern, as it's lovingly referred to.
The postmodern. That's
the postmodern.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, really? He's like, abso-fucking-lutely. And I was like, oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, have done that a number of times since.
Wow.
God, the Aussie black and tan. I'm down for that.
Yeah, yeah, the two is now.
I've done it a few times. Like, yeah, two is old is one. If I see it at a pub, like, and yeah, there's no other choice, then that's the obvious choice. That's the It is rarer and rarer these days, though. Unfortunately,
for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Although I did hear that Melbourne Bitter CB is taking the ban for Sydney to have Melbourne Bitter.
So yeah, it's on tap in Darlinghurst. There's cans
but I heard
everywhere.
A story about that. The cans are different. The kegs, the bar operator drives down to Melbourne in his Corolla, loads up from a pub, and drives it back. He's
really?
The only pub to have it because they don't have they had to have a band.
I think we're talking about the same venue, right? He does that. He drives. Wow.
Yeah, this is what I heard this afternoon.
Wow.
Good on him. The owners of that place are Melbourne based.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is interesting. That's
a lot of effort to go to for Melbourne Bitter.
Sure, the guys from Yuli's Carl and Carl lives in near Byron, and he does all the trade for up there. I mean, he has to drive down to Brisbane to do all the Yuli's trade there, they ship it up to him, kind of thing. And Sydney, so I guess there's means to the madness.
Sweet.
Always.
Definitely. So to finish up, we got one more beer. Jackson, you brought this one along.
Yeah, it's been sitting in my fridge for a bit. I'm really excited to try it.
Yeah.
It's not a feral beer. Not a feral beer at all. This is the Goose Boone Black Label, which is Boone's 40th anniversary beer. Apparently, it was some sort of... it was birthed out of... Like, the recipe was birthed out of McKellar hitting them up and went into, like, a really dry, stupid dry blended, like, lambic-style thing. And this was sort of the outcome. But it smells super sexy.
It is sexy. Mm. It is. Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Do you like you like your sales, Mikey?
Don't.
How dare you?
Infected. Yeah, it's one of my favorite lines.
I'd have had a lot of that. Like, if I pour out Watermelon Warhead, it being a Berliner Weiss at festivals, people go, oh, great, I've been looking for a wheat beer. And you're like...
No,
you got like 5 minutes for me to explain what the fuck this thing is or what? Like,
always.
Because we
have Watermelon Warhead on tap almost all the time.
Yeah.
We can. And it's the same thing. People are like, oh, Berliner Weiss, is that like a German wheat beer? I'm like,
sure. I've been sadistic.
Have a taste.
Sadistic enough just to go, yes.
I haven't. So, yeah, I do try sometimes. This is super tasty.
It's funny, I was thinking about, because it was, Oak Barrel Beer Festival.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
You were there. Were you guys pouring at the Oak Barrel?
No. Unfortunately, we were a bit tied up.
Yeah. It was just funny, because I was just thinking about it the other day, like, the first time I went to that one, this would have been, four or five years ago or something, and they had 2 meter tall beers there, and they had some poor rep from some wine distributor that was distributing 2 meters tall at the time. Poor little chick rocked up, had no idea what she was pouring.
Sure.
You know, like, I remember, like, we used to have 2 meter tools in the shop, and people would bring it in and go, oh, this beer's off, I want a refund. It was like, no, well, it's meant to be sour.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not, try it, it's off, it's gross. And then those same people coming back 2 years later going, like, hey, when are you getting some more 2 meter tools?
Yeah. Shit crap beer gigs.
Same
thing with the Normandy ciders as well, it's exact same problem. People would be like, that's not cider. Like, well...
Well, it's not of your use.
Yeah, it's not Summersby, but...
Yeah.
I'm dealing with this exact problem now. I got Jason gifted me a bottle of Willie Smith's 2014 Vintage Luck Barrel Age. This is a response I was hoping for.
Yeah.
I got the complete opposite from my flatmates and, and everyone that was drinking it. I shared it. I wish I hadn't.
You shouldn't. I should have just drank it.
Yeah. It was delicious. It was bone dry and it had that beautiful tang of whiskey through it.
Yeah,
and it was... Farmhouse punk, gorgeous.
Well, I remember going to this 2 meter tall thing, and like sort of we sat at the other end of the room, got down to that, and this lady was just looking dejected, and I was like, oh, cool, 2 meter tools. It's like, yeah, I mean, just pour it yourself if you want. I don't know, everyone, apparently it's awful. I'm about to just throw it all out. And I was like, are you serious? Like, no, do you know
it's
what you're
meant
this,
to be?
Yeah, this is great. She's like, really? You're the first person that said that all day. It's like, everyone else has just like spat it out and just walked off. Like,
Yeah. It's amazing the change in like the last 4 or 5 years as well.
I know.
Yesterday at Oak Barrel, I was pouring the watermelon warhead, and the response was great. And I can only imagine 4 years ago.
Oh,
it would have been no one would have drank it
even in a year. So I when I got back from a year in Germany, I started working again at the Albert, and I'd have people come in going like, "Oh, what's your sour beer on tap?"
It's crazy.
And whereas like before I left, never had, when we had a sour beer on tap, we'd struggle.
It'd be
to sell
a sell.
It.
It'd be a hand sell. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas now it's like, it doesn't matter which beer it is necessarily. If there's a sour on tap, it's going to sell. Mm. Like yeah. we go through kegs cool. of watermelon yeah. warhead. I think when we had the tap takeover with Wayward, like. Southwest yes. was one of the first to go.
Well, that and, yeah. and the barrel age and that we did for yeah. reasons, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And people just want sour beer.
Yeah.
I think it's such a good fit for the Aussie palate. Like when it's super hot outside and you want something that's like super refreshing.
Yeah.
Easy to like drink quickly, but it tastes good.
Responsibly.
Responsibly, yeah. But a lot of Berliner Weisses and sour beers are like 3%.
Mate, it's called sessionable.
Sessionable.
Yeah. Pints right. of sourpuss over the summer like mate. Saved me in this place. Because yeah. I very conveniently live around the corner, so.
The change in the Aussie palate towards sour beers in the last year.
Well, think about how many breweries have like a sour beer as part of their core range. And not, you guys are both part of that.
Not even like fruited sours either. Like there's people doing
Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nomad's got, salt and pepper. They're exporting that to the States and shit.
Yeah. And salt and pepper is delish as well. Like it is, yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Apparently the response really over there is amazing as well. Mm. Everyone really digging on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I dig that. Yeah. I see the trend. I mean, it's, our surplus or what I would, if I was working with Feral, I'd probably say they'd use the same descriptor. It's a beer drinker's cider or a cider drinker's beer. And Australia has, been in the grips of a cider, a passionate tryst with cider for 5-10 years now. Yeah. It's such an easy leap. It's not even a leap. It's a small stumble.
Well, and so many people drink and go, "This isn't a beer. This is a cider." I'm like, no, it is a beer. Like,
because I used to look after Newcastle. And the interesting thing about that is you get a lot of like Semillon drinkers, like Hunter Valley Semillon drinkers, so acid out the arse, and that's the whole thing with sours, it's just acid.
It is.
So they kind of have regionally specific palates where they're used to drinking acid Chardonnay and high acid Semillon. So it's not, look at them trying it and you expect them to kind of go, "Oh fuck," and have that like puckering thing because they're so used to drinking high acid white wine. It's not that big a deal.
It's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, which I found fascinating.
Mm. Yeah. Right, do we want to do recommendations?
Yeah.
Cool.
Beer recommendations.
Yeah, we'll do beer recommendations first. I can start.
Yeah.
If you want. I'm going to be super lame and predictable, and I'm going to recommend the Royal Albert Colonial Collab.
Oh, fuck off. Recommend something else.
Fuck yeah.
That's like this one recommending Watermelon Warhead. Like, come on.
All right. Give me a sec then. I'll recommend something else.
No, because like, no one else is going to steal that, right?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, go for it.
No one else is going to drink
a compliment.
It.
Shameless plug.
Go. What's the beer? Tell us.
So it's called Burt, and it's a really hoppy pale ale, and it's really drinkable.
It's a hop hog clone, right?
Basically. The brief was literally, Mick said to Colonial, "I want to do an Australian pale ale that's better than hop hog." And they go, okay.
We can do an Australian pale ale.
You don't have to be nice because I'm here, by the way.
Nah. Oh, no. I'd say this to anyone. But no, it's not, it's not better than Hop Hog.
No, if you'd say to anyone, I think Mick's real thing is because Jackson's a cat.
No, we're tight.
You just moved in upstairs, right? Like,
yeah, we've got office space upstairs.
I do. Awesome. Yeah.
It's really nice. It's basically just
Willie Smith, are you?
Yeah, rubbing shoulders, grabbing coffee together. It's great fun. It's
a good spot for an office.
Yeah, and it's nice. Realistically, it's just my bathtub in my old house was my storage space for a lot of Feral gear, and it's just nice to not have a bathroom full of core flutes and coasters.
Yeah.
So you finally moved that gas tank out of your bathtub?
Yeah. There's no gas tank in the bathtub anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. And it's super hoppy pale ale. Like, really, it's fucking bitter. But really just tasty and smashable.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what I'm probably enjoying the most at the moment. That and Watermelon Warhead. And I think we've recommended that more than once on this podcast already. So
Adrian's a fan.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. I think he enjoys it time to time.
Anyone else got a beer recommendation?
I'm probably lame and predictable as well, but I'm in love with it anyway. I had one when we arrived here. It was the pineapple hand grenade.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
does this mean I've got to rep one of your beers now?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, that's
one
been...
big circle jerk yeah. right now. Listen.
while we're on it, I do want to say, as, like a, that's... as a beer that's not just one that for a company I work for, the Wayward, what is it? The Tender Trap?
Yeah, Belgian Quad.
That's so good. Yeah. Fucking love it.
Yeah.
It is pretty tasty.
But you guys are coming strength to strength. It's fucking
mate,
awesome.
So good.
But that
it does taste good for breakfast beer too.
That pineapple hand grenade.
Like Dad Rock. That's
yeah.
Dad yeah.
Rock. Dad Rock's
but
cool.
That pineapple hand grenade was like a highlight for my Gabs experience. Oh,
that was actually like, without pulling anyone's chain, that was actually my pick.
Yeah.
If I actually had the sobriety enough to actually vote, I would have. Apologies, but that was my pick.
I mean, I voted for Negroni IPA, but that's...
I was a great, yeah.
That was also memorable.
That's me in a beer. That's,
but I'm just kind of recommending just Brett beers, because everyone's getting so much better
really
at doing them.
I about the fact that my favorite beer was the one that's actually from down the road from my house. Because it's like, no, I want to like something that, you know, from...
Something I can't get out, you can't get, like...
But then it's like, wait, I can get my favorite beer from, like, down the road from my house.
Fuck yeah.
Just tits,
on tap, fresh.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all the big ups, guys. I'm not going to return the favor.
Yeah. Break the chain, mate. Break the chain.
What's your beer
not
recommendation?
Well, since we're all being so predictable, I'm going to say my beer recommendation is the next one. No. I always say, people always ask, what's your favorite beer? I say, it's
the one that's
next
in my hand.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, or a cold one. Yeah. I don't like to just pinpoint one always,
but
I do want to see one out of the market just so I can see if it's still as good as it was the first time I tried it, because it was a beer that kind of turned me from beer. I was drinking a lot of Ruskies and lemon somethings or others and Passion Pop and whatever. And I hope Chuck is listening. I'd like to see the Hop Thief number one back on the market.
Oh, Thief one. Wow. Yeah. I don't think Chuck listens to this.
I will take this over to Chuck.
Does anyone say, remember the Hop Bill at all?
On the Hop Thief one? No.
If we shout loud enough, he's just across the room. He might actually hear us.
No, mate, you know he sleeps in our malt room. He spends more time down here than he does over there.
Nice.
That's cool.
Hop Thief is still one of those beers that, like, if I see it on tap, I'll probably,
absolutely,
I'll probably get one.
Totally. Especially if it's been, like, recently released where you know it's fresh. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those boys across the road are no joke. Like, they're fucking excellent brewers.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, there's the whole thing that it's lying. But, like, those guys love beer, and they make beer, and they're champs. Like,
what is it? The Pilsner, the Porter, the Hop Thief are all still made in-house across the road?
Yeah.
But if you go to their upstairs bar and try the beers that they make for themselves.
Their beers they've got up there, like, yeah.
They did, like, an El Dorado single hop summer ale, like, 3 years ago that was just mind-blowing.
I think I've sung their praises on the podcast before. Yeah, but, like, used to, like, when we were at Camperdown, like, we had, like, an unemptyable growler, which they gave it to us. Yeah. It's like, if you ever finish this, just bring it right back to the brewery.
Yeah, they were so nice. They invited us down for like sensory training.
Yeah.
Every Friday morning, Liam and I'd rock up like half hour early to work, and they'd be all standing around trying like say a 50 lashes fresh
from
tank.
And then
3 weeks, and then 6 weeks, and then 12 months, and just seeing changes in different batches. And
whatever pilot stuff they had on at a cracker. It was great. I learned a lot doing that as well.
Nice. Breakfast beers with malt shovel guys.
Did you come up with a non-beer?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I came up with a beer, and I realized it's actually a feral beer, so I was like, fuck, I can't say that. But
fuck you.
The Nice Guy Dud Root on Nitro was really fucking good. Really enjoyed that.
Awesome.
And that was a beer. It was a solid brown ale, but it wasn't like a blow you away.
It's a Dud Root.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
But
that
on Nitro was really fucking good.
Yeah, I thought it
improved
a lot.
A beer that I think I had it with you, Tom, recently that I've forgotten that was so good was the Ekam Grapefruit IPA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's going to be my recommendation.
Definitely.
Sorry.
Cool. No.
They're doing...
You've just given me what my non-beer recommendation is, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, mate.
All right. My non-beer recommendation is... I actually might have been made on the podcast while I was away, but fried chicken and gin at Barangaroo.
Okay.
Bells,
gin and it,
and then gin and I, I think is the name
gin
of the bar.
Gin and it.
Yeah. The one like so.
Right. Gin and it. I thought it was gin and it.
Oh, okay.
I think that actually probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
But you're questioning my like. I was like, so I, that's gin and it. And I was like, Actually, yeah.
That's my like. Just go like I as much as I, you know, dislike some parts of like the whole Barangaroo development. Those two little stalls next to each other. I don't think you can get more perfect than fried, fucking awesome fried chicken, and that was so good.
And a kick-ass gin and tonic.
Yeah, and I can't remember his name, but the bartender at Gin and Tonic when we were there,
Peter Dvoracek.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but he was a champ, and we were having a chat to him, and he's like, we're talking about like different like barrel aged gins. And he's like, oh, just try this, and he just like poured us both a barrel aged something
gin.
Yeah. And it was super tasty, and then I had I think the gin I ended up having was Poltergeist from Tasmania, which was
cool,
really tasty.
Have you tried Anti Gin?
No.
And it's a lovely
play. Is that vodka?
It's a lovely play on words. It's actually, they use crushed ants to extract formic acid as a flavor.
I've actually heard it.
Excellent umami additive.
Whoa.
It is
wonderful. I want to try that.
Yeah.
I believe Archie Rose has a small bottle of it.
I've read about that.
Sounds cool.
It's really,
yeah, they usually sell it with the extract on the side so you can actually... Well, I'm really interested now. I'm going to try a bit of that extract.
But that smell of dead ants is fucked. I hate it. Horrible. But I'm kind of intrigued.
I hate that smell so much that I have to know what that smells like.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my non-beer.
Well, you've trumped me. I was going to say I just started rewatching Pokemon again.
Mate, that's a great one.
Rewatching is a lot. I never actually watched it when I was a kid. Funny how encultured I am with this show. I know a lot more about it, even though I'm watching it for the first time.
Yeah. What I love, because I did a rewatch
that
not
is
too long
like,
ago.
It's like, that's not a thing I would have picked, Mikey. Like,
I know.
I was just looking at Netflix, and it came up on my recommendation because my flatmate's been watching some anime.
Yeah.
Don't know what.
So like, next way would be is going to be the Pikachu Pale Ale or...
Short Charmander, please.
Charmander Red, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
I'm taking you heard it here first, guys. It was on, and I was like... Yeah, I've got a couple of hours to kill, and I'm been drunk from drinking too much of that Tender Trap, and I just started watching it. I got kind of into it.
It's so good. I started rewatching it not too long ago as well. My favorite bit is the what's that Pokemon bit in the ad breaks, and like they just show the silhouette, and I'm like yelling. I'm sitting by myself. I'm yelling at my TV. It's fucking Charmander.
Have we diverted to a new podcast called Pokeball?
Pokeball.
That's.
Good luck.
That's actually. Yeah. I like that name though, because that's a bit.
I'm gonna guess that's taken for something. Maybe not what you guys are saying.
But it's like Pokeball. I like it. God. I like it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good one.
We've got off topic, haven't we?
Oh mate.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar to Mikey's, I discovered that pretty much every episode of QI ever recorded is available to watch on YouTube.
Boom.
And that's taken many hours of sleep away from me in the last sort of week and a half. And I'm really just... I just like Stephen Fry's voice.
Oh, yeah.
And so I suppose my non-beard description is as much QI as it is Stephen Fry's voice. So...
Oh, yeah.
Audiobooks,
like,
whatever.
I was never really a big fan of QI because... I always felt like it was like a bunch of guys who thought, or a bunch of people who thought they're way too smart and just wanted to show off how smart they are.
Oh, no, fuck no. It's Stephen Fry, basically, because he's an educator.
Yeah.
So he's basically running a classroom. It's really patronizing.
The whole
concept is like he's running a classroom full of adults. and there's just the one shit kid who's like the remaining.
The same guy. What's his name?
Alan Davies.
Yeah. What I love that like every question is asked to get the wrong answer. It's just so, it's
the
so patronizing. But
it's very
the change that we actually really enjoy it is like when I work at Batch, like the highlight of my day is when I open Batches when I have to write the fact of the day on the wall.
And you just get it from
totally.
The QI.
So yeah, I just just get it from the QI because the facts are the best. And then it became like you get so worked up about wanting to have the best fact of the day is like you start on watching your QI on YouTube on your day off to get your good fact going. And,
and
then the most heartbreaking thing is when you find a good fact and you come in and the fact from yesterday is up on the wall. It's the one that you wanted to put up there. You're like, fuck!
Damn it.
Yeah. I think it's been recommended before, but actually a bunch of the writers on QI have their own podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yeah, I've just started listening to it. It's actually really good. Yeah,
they're actually
you and Adrian were talking about it ages ago.
I think we might have recommended it before on the podcast.
Is this just like random fact trivia geekery?
Basically, there's four of them, and each week one of them bring a fact, and then they say the fact, and then everyone just kind of like bounces off that with other facts related to it.
Oh, amazing.
And really they have they've started a TV show called No Such Thing as the News, which is on YouTube. Which if you like QI, you'll fucking love it. So
all right, I'm in.
No Such Thing as the Fish, No Such Thing as the News. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm learning a lot today.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna do another rehash. I think we've done it before, but you know, it's really fucking cold at the moment. And I was really, really hungover. And, you know, coming to this podcast, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can back it up. So I was like, well, what can fix me? I've got an hour to spare. So I went to Ipiru and got some ramen as like some fuel.
Good choice.
Back to the ramen cast.
Yeah. So, you know, I took a good 7 months of ramen because I was getting a little bit too over the top with how much ramen I was consuming. But,
now you're back into it, baby. You're
fucking back on the horse, bro. Yeah. Yep. Straight in the veins.
Totally
fair. So, yeah. Eat some fucking ramen or some hectic pho or something just to warm up with the...
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that probably brings the whole thing to a close.
Yeah. Excellent.
Sweet. Thank you heaps, Jackson and Mikey,
for
joining us. Yeah. And
pleasure.
Yeah.